Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, it is an extreme honor to have Adam Sawyer as my guest. Adam is an outdoor travel writer, photographer. He's a published author and guide of many guidebooks. He's a public speaker. He's based in Tillamook. He's written stories for the Oregonian, Portland Monthly. He's worked with Travel Oregon. He's written books called Hiking Waterfalls in Oregon, The Best Outdoor Adventures Near Portland. He's been a brand ambassador for Terminal Gravity and Keen Footwear and Tillamook Creamery. And his focus as a travel writer and adventurer shifted a few years ago after a personal tragedy. He began to work with Substack, covering topics such as grief, addiction and recovery, travel, and the healing powers of nature. He works with the Oregon Humanities, giving presentations on grieving in nature and addiction and regeneration in nature. There are lots of things on his website, adamsawyer.com. I could go on, but we'll hear directly from Adam. So Adam, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, Adam, you've had a very rich and varied history that has taken you in many different directions. And this topic of grief is something we're going to come to and how we deal with it. I think we all have personal grief. And of course, there's a great collective grief now, too. But let's start off by how did you even get into travel writing? Where were you born? Let's have some personal history, please.
Okay, well, let's start kind of at the beginning and do some backtracking and fast-forwarding the best way I can tell the story. I first became enamored with the outdoors and nature when I moved to the Pacific Northwest a little over 20 years ago. I had a career shift. I had a 10-year military career, then about an eight-year information technology career, which brought me to the Pacific Northwest, the Portland area. And then a early onset midlife crisis caused me to just want to abandon the office job and find a way to make a living outside. I just become so engrossed and again, enamored with the outdoors, especially in this region of the country. And what that led to was outdoor writing and photography and eventually into guidebook writing. I wound up utilizing nature not just as a means for exercise and inspiration, but I wound up utilizing it to help me endure some hardships or get to the other side or get through a couple of life hurdles. And the first one was opiate addiction. And my first encounter with opiate addiction is actually what ended my military career. Back in the early 1990s, they prescribed opiate painkillers for just about anything, headaches. They referred to Percocet as GI aspirin at the time. And as a young man, I developed, developed quite a debilitating habit to the point where I was prescribing my own. And that led to the end of my military career. I was, received a felony conviction and a one-year prison sentence and the end of a military career. So then I transitioned into information technology, traveled around a lot for that. That's what brought me up here from Florida, was the last place I was at before the Pacific Northwest. And after being clean for 10 years, had a moment of weakness as my outdoor writing career was beginning to flourish and started a very slow but steady spiral over the course of 2 years into heroin addiction. I wound up getting clean thanks to a detox in Portland, a 10-day detox, but then I relied heavily on the outdoors as a means of recovery and getting healthy again in all the ways that nature helps us, right? Emotionally, mentally, physically, and it took a long time. It's not an easy process, as you can imagine, or anyone who's ever dealt with addiction knows. And that's when I met the woman who would become my life partner shortly after getting out of detox, Kara. And after dating for a few years in Portland, we decided to move off the grid up into Washington State to be closer where she worked as an in-home trauma counselor for kids. And so we lived there off the grid almost 4 years. Close to 4 years. And unfortunately, while I was away on an assignment, a travel writing assignment, there was a fire, a house fire that was so fast and so uncontained that it not only claimed the home and most of the things in it, it also claimed Kara and our cat and, you know, pretty much my life, really. So that was about, that'll be 4 years ago this February, or this coming February. Well, what happened at that point was you meet a lot of people in this travel writing career, a lot of wonderful humans. And one of those humans I met was a woman named Katie Brown, who owns the Old Wheeler Hotel in Wheeler, Oregon. And we became Facebook friends. I was writing a story about 25 mile an hour zones on the coast years ago. And I stayed at the hotel. And when she saw on Facebook what had transpired, she offered to have me down for a respite, gave me the keys to room 5 and said, "This is yours. This is your home until you find what's next, until you find a way." And that little miracle right there, I lived in that hotel for 8 months. And at that point, I went outside every day, either to the beach, to the mountains, to the forest, sometimes all of the above. And then I came back to my room and I wrote. And grieving and processing and healing in nature essentially became a full-time unpaid job for me for about a year and a half. And I didn't know what I was doing, honestly. It's, you know, grief journaling is essentially what I was doing, but I was writing essays about love and life and nature and perspectives. And I could not write for work anymore to save my life. It just, there was so much going on, and I would post some of these little stories or essays on Facebook from time to time. And eventually some friends said, "You know, do you mind if I share this? I have a friend going through something who I think could benefit from this personal story or this essay, or they might find some comfort in it." And I said, "Well, absolutely." It didn't dawn on me that what I was doing to help me heal could also be of benefit to others. And so that led me to Substack. A friend had recommended Substack as kind of this means of a collection point almost for all these essays that people could have access to. And it's grown and developed over time. It was all grief essays for about the first year and a half. But it also allowed me to, if people wanted to subscribe, they could be free subscribers, or if they wanted to support the work or got value from the writing, they could be paid subscribers. But I liked the idea that anyone could have access to these stories at any time. That just sat right with me. And so that felt like the right way to go. And over time, those have morphed. You know, grief is it's nonlinear. You know, it comes in waves. There's all the different cycles that come with it. And now 3.5, almost 4 years later, a lot of these stories are about love. They're about travel. They're about insights and perspectives gleaned in nature, and also a lot of photo essays inspired by nature. And that's kind of where I'm at now. And the path forward, I still have kind of a foot in travel writing. I still do have my hiking guides. I do give an Airbnb experience for Cape Mears that people can book, that I can give you a little walking tour and of the forest there. But the way forward now feels like addressing grief, because it's something I think, especially in our society, that we don't culturally address a lot. There's personal grief, there's societal grief. I think we've touched on before in some of our previous conversations. We're all grieving. It's unavoidable. And it's something I think I've been getting a lot of feedback from people of how much we need this in these times, and how much people are there's a vacuum for real connection with people as well, and real stories and human stories and how we get through this together. And so now I work with Oregon Humanities to give, I facilitate conversations for them where we share thoughts and ideas about how nature can benefit, how nature is regenerative, and how we can come back from just about anything, how we can get through things together and share ideas. And it's all for me based on nature. And I share my thoughts and perspectives about what nature did for me, how it helped me heal. And hopefully I can learn from other people as well.
And you also give presentations and slideshows, and you in fact, in October, you're going to be at the Bend Library and the Sisters Library, and correct, that's through the Library Association itself. We'll have to get you to the Astoria Library and all the libraries on the North Coast. And before we talk a little bit more about your current work, I want to step back into travel writing a little bit and your experiences as a travel writer, because we are hearing a lot these days about overtourism. And and if you're talking about the regenerative power of nature and being in nature, we know the Oregon coast, Oregon itself, obviously, has so many beautiful, special places. How and we need those places. You know, we need wilderness. We need places without vehicles and machines and some of that's under threat because of overtourism. So how are you thinking about that these days?
That is a phenomenal question, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that has been a delicate balance that we in the travel industry we've been talking about and sharing thoughts and ideas for a long time. And to that end, you know, I did a series of blog posts for Visit Tillamook Coast over the years. I've written extensively for them about being all the aspects of being a good tourist or a good visitor. So there's the leave no trace stuff. There's things like expanding shoulder seasons, off times of days, spreading the love, so to speak. Also how, you know, hiking with dog etiquette, all these sorts of things that, you know, tide pool etiquette, you know, things for people who are maybe visiting a region that, you know, they don't see tide pools every day and they don't know it's okay to play Frisbee with a sea star. So addressing things in a polite and proper way without being accusatory has been one thing that we do. But then also something that's important to me is spreading people around and maybe sending them into different locations, but also maintaining quote unquote local secrets. Keeping people, you know, there's a sense of pride of our small little communities and our little nature getaways or our little coffee shops that we don't want overrun. You know, there was one example I use in the Hiking Oregon or Hiking Waterfalls in Oregon guidebook. When I was on the road writing that guidebook originally, I was in Eastern Oregon somewhere, and I met a young man at a bar, and he said, you know, you're writing a waterfall guidebook. There's a great one up the road here that I can take you to if you buy me a beer. And I said, well, I'll buy you a pitcher and you can take me up there tomorrow. And so we went up there, we got to see this amazing waterfall I had no idea existed, and said, oh, this will be great for the guidebook. And he said, no, it won't. He said, this is for you. I don't want this in a book. And so I said, okay, well, what if I make you a deal? When we get back into town, if I Google this waterfall and there's pages and pages of it, shows up immediately, it's not a secret. Can I include it in the guidebook? But if it's kind of ambiguous, if maybe it's on the second page or there's other waterfalls in other states named the same thing, I'm not going to be the one who ruins it. And he said, fair enough. So we Googled it, and sure enough, it was ambiguous. So I did not include that waterfall in the first edition. But when I went to revise that book 5 years later, that waterfall was no longer a secret anymore. And so I included it in the book, just as a reference. So yeah, that's I think it's important for us to consider those things.
And I forgot to tell you that I was involved with the Oregon Coast Visitors Association for many, many years. And Marcus Hintz has done a wonderful job of working with ACVA on all of what you've just talked about. Because, yes, I mean, nature is the healer. However, nature has to be respected. And there's, you know, we have to recognize what is the carrying capacity, you know, of our little roads and our, you know, all of this, you know. So right. I'm glad that that's happening now. It's certainly lots more people are looking to nature for a lot of things. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today I have multi-talented Adam Sawyer. He is an outdoor travel writer, photographer, published author, guide of many guidebooks. Now his focus is on grieving in nature and the regenerative power of nature. And he's working with the Oregon Humanities to do presentations on that. He's also giving presentations at libraries. He's done writing workshops. His website is Adam N. No, that's your website. That's your Gmail. His website is adamsawyer.com. And on his website, you can watch a couple of videos. You can see some essays. You can go to Substack too. So now that you have switched your focus, what is it that you want to impart? What do you think are the most important things people need to know about grief and then what nature offers?
I touched on it briefly earlier, but there is a cultural thing with us. There's a barrier where we don't like to be uncomfortable culturally, and so things like pain or grief are things that we tend to keep at arm's length, most of us. And despite the fact that we all know that there's 100% chance that we are eventually going to lose everyone that we love if they don't lose us first, you know, there's a 100% success rate of that so far. And so for me, it was something that I never dealt with until it was kind of thrust upon me in such an immediate way. And it forced me to look back and then have to deal with, or it was the healthy thing to do, was finally deal with all the grief and all the issues that needed to be addressed that I had never addressed before. And I know this sounds pretty logical and maybe obvious to a lot of people who are emotionally healthy and have dealt with these things in the past, but a lot of us don't, and a lot of us haven't. And I think that, and especially coming from a male perspective, male mental health is often kind of looked over to a certain degree because there is that stigma of masculinity attached to it. And, you know, some of the emails and correspondence I've gotten, most have been from men who were thankful to have an example or a story they could point at of, oh my gosh, it is okay. It is all right. I'm not the only one going through it. And even on a more collective level, I mean, everybody. And so I feel like a lot of us know how wonderful the outdoors is, but when you are approaching it with the explicit intent of not looking for answers necessarily, but perspectives. You know, we have the benefit of going into nature and seeing cycles of life on a micro scale of hours, days, seasons, years that help put into perspective anything that we're going through. And one of the reasons why one of the titles is Regeneration in Nature is because nothing has capacity for regeneration like Mother Nature. And that was the first inspiration for me that like, oh, my life is going to be okay. I can make it through this. I went to a post wildfire forest on Mount Hood when I was recovering from the heroin addiction. And it was a few years after the fire, and suddenly there were carpets of these white ethereal avalanche lilies everywhere. And it was beautiful. That forest was never going to be the same forest it was, but there's beauty in the regrowth. There's a next chapter. Things regenerate. And that was such a huge inspiration for me. And again, it was me discovering the answers I'm looking for aren't out there, but the perspectives are out there in droves. And I want to help people understand that, or help get people out into that and help make their own discoveries and find their own perspectives and healing in nature.
Well, I had no idea when I went to your website. I learned a lot. And so the website again is adamsawyer.com, but also his Substack, which is where you have a lot of essays, is Collecting Sunsets. And I really encourage you all to visit that. I had no idea. I learned from your website that we actually have a National Grief Center in Portland for families, and the Dougie Center. And you actually, they interviewed you. There's an actual podcast called Grief Out Loud on YouTube, and they did an interview with you. I mean, you're also being interviewed on afternoon shows on Portland television. So I really encourage those of you listening, because we all are suffering. We have personal grief, we have collective grief, but Adam is really sharing beautiful stories and photographs and experiences, not only through Oregon Humanities facilitated conversations, but through presentations at libraries and other things, because grief is a huge part of our lives. The Dougie Center, they've been here for a long time, and I don't even know about them.
Yeah, you know, I embarrassingly enough didn't either. I guess that is one potential downside or byproduct of just going into the woods every day and not necessarily checking in with society as much as I should. As I had no, or like when you mentioned, what was that program in Astoria? Was it Encore?
Oh, the Encore. Encore gives presentations, but they're not necessarily about grief, about all kinds of things. But that would be a perfect conversation for you to have to work with Encore, actually.
Right. But yeah, that Dougie Center, they're doing great work. And I had no idea until they reached out to me. And then I started catching up on all of their grief work and that podcast, which has been wonderful.
Yes, because I think you have the experience of it. So deeply embedded in your heart, your spirit, your body. And so you can address things, because people are really suffering in the world today. And I think you and I also talked about Francis Weller, who wrote At the Wild Edge of Sorrow. He's he's very inspiring in the world of grief work, which is becoming huge now. And his new book is called In the Absence of the Ordinary, which talks about, this long dark period we're headed into. But I think what you are doing, the ability to synthesize, to bring into your world these experiences in nature, which calm the soul and the spirit, and which give you the strength and courage to continue your life, when really there must have been times when you said, why?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I tell you, it is. The more another thing nature's taught me, and there's a whole Rolodex it's spitting through right now, was, and it's almost embarrassing for a man in his 50s to admit that he finally learned from sitting quietly in nature, that the more I look and listen, the more I'm shown and told. And it took me that just time in nature with that kind of quiet to allow those things to finally dawn on you, to transpire, is incredible.
So Adam, we could talk for a very long time. We only have a few minutes left. So I want to give you this time to say anything to the listening audience you'd like to say before the program ends. Again, I want to encourage people, go to adamsawyer.com, go to his Substacks, Collecting Sunsets. And he has a newsletter he puts out. It says life tales, essays, poems, musing, ramblings about love, laughter, loss, euphoria, woe, and the redemptive power of nature. So Adam, the floor is yours for the next few minutes.
Okay. Well, specifically when it comes to this place that we live, our backyard. This place is special. I mean, nature is special in general, but where we live, it's where the mountains meet the sea. It's where my favorite trees of fragrant needles and flat leaves connect the sand to the soil. There is life in abundance here that is almost impossible not to be inspired by if you take the time to observe it, experience it, and enjoy it. And it doesn't mean that you have to go on a 15-mile sojourn up into the mountains. You could walk to your local park. You could go to the Kilchis Point Reserve. You could sit in your own backyard. Take the time to make the time to take the time to be out in nature and let it cure your soul, because we are all grieving right now for a lot of different reasons. We're all experiencing pain. We all need that sort of healing, and we can do it with nature and we can do it together. And I, again, implore people to go out and not necessarily look for answers, but be open to the perspectives that our outdoors, our precious Oregon coast here has for us.
Yes, that is beautifully said, actually. And I think some people may be afraid of being alone in nature and the quiet, because we are living in a cacophony of noise. I mean, everywhere there's so much noise, but truly to settle our spirits, our minds, to sit quietly is beauty comes. And so I think what you've said is really important. And what does the future look like for you, Adam?
I have been so rejuvenated spirit-wise with the connections I've made with complete strangers through this, through grieving, through healing in nature. The number of people who I have been touched by, who have fed my soul, it's become this kind of reciprocal thing that just inspires me to, I mean, this is the path forward for me, is quote unquote preaching the good word of getting better, of addressing our hurts, our pains, all of our suffering, and the powers of Mother Nature.
Thank you, Adam. We're going to look forward to you being at the Astoria Library and an encore presentation, doing writing workshops. Thank you for making time for this today. Really appreciate it. Honor
thank
the work
you
you're doing.
Thank very you so important. Much. It's been an honor.
Thank you, Viri, our engineer extraordinaire. Thank you so much, Kiri. And my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brun for his original theme music for this program. Until we meet again. Well, no, not until we meet again. That's a month away. How about right this minute? Let's all take a very deep healing breath together. It's so good for body, mind, and spirit. And then focus on the things that are going well in your life, the beauty, the points of beauty that there are, on feeling good. Give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can.